people are able to understand and listen by your grace. Father, receive all the glory, all adoration, and all honor. Again, I ask, Jesus, as only you can, please open our eyes. Let us behold wondrous things from your word. Guide us in teaching. I'm so empty this morning, Lord. But open your word, Father. There's no better thing than to rightly divide the word of life. Grant to me the grace. Let it be an unforgettable experience. Let it please you to use this moment to continue to build what you've already started in each life here. Bless your people, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good morning, brothers and sisters. May the Lord help us and bless us and guide us. I hope we had a great week in Christ. I have no doubt that in the course of the week, we have all met with the favor of God. If we were to do an open mic and you were to come forward to talk about what Christ has done for you, I think some may talk about some challenges in the course of the week, but we're here. By and large, compared to a lot of people on earth, we are so privileged. We thank God for that. American Christians, we are fortunate Christians. None of us is wondering. I mean, times are changing. I mean, churches are beginning to put security and ADT and all of that. And detectors, what do they call those things? Scanners, before you enter their churches. But I mean, until recently, we never had to wonder whether someone was going to storm into the door and do something bad to us while we're fellowshipping. It's not like that in many parts of the world. But we bless the Lord for what he's doing in our lives. So today I just want us to be in an attitude of gratitude to comfort us with these words of the Lord Jesus Christ to start off. No matter what it is or where it is you are today, hearing is the word of God. The heavens are not cynical about your situation. The Bible says that man is born to trouble even as the sparks fly upwards, which means naturally, no matter what kind of life you are, what you have in your bank account, life is created to bring problems. So we often see that oftentimes when we're happy, there may be one thing or the other that is put there as an agent of Satan so that we'll not be too comfortable and forget heaven. But the comforting thing is that the plan that God has towards us is still of good and not of evil. Some of us are actually tasting of the faithfulness of a foretaste of heaven as we speak this morning. The comfort, the consolation of a Christian is that Jesus is coming. And I don't think we can say it enough that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. It used to be said a lot more for those who are a little older. You remember the time when faith and Christianity and the comfort of the Christian is that Jesus is coming and you are charged to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ every day. But one of the tricks of Satan today is that he's making us forget that we're on a journey. You know, he says your best life is now. May my best life, if in this world only we have comfort and consolation and hope, then of all men, we Christians are the most miserable. We are passing through. We are pilgrims and we are strangers. One day the trumpet will sound. One day the mustard seed will become the biggest tree in the forest because we believe in Jesus. One day, the Lord will bless us with the everlasting blessings of his Son, Jesus Christ. One day, his promises will be fulfilled regarding you and I. even though as scripture says, we may suffer tribulations and trials at the present time, joy will come in the morning. As Christians, we have to remember that our consolation is not the next job. There'll be many Christians who will never have the joy of the job of their dreams before they meet Jesus. And I thank God that my consolation in faith in Christ is not the same as the consolation of that brilliant Buddhist programmer who has the best job in Silicon Valley already. What gospel do you want to preach to such a man? We grow old to realize that our consolation is not our children. Oftentimes, they are pain points. There's a popular Yoruba proverb that says, those who have children, it's the children that will kill them. Those who do not have children, it's because they don't have children that they will die. These are all partial consolations and wonderful gifts in God that he gives to us. But there will come a time when Christ will appear. The whole of creation has been waiting for this time. I will read Peter in the book of 2 Peter. He said, look, I understand. He said, the mockers and the scorners. I don't know what's mocker in French. Mockers. And what? The rigolers. The rigolers, the elegans, the rigolers. He said they have been saying, and I think deep within us, Satan may be saying that as well. They have been saying, you have been preaching this thing for 2,000 years. You have been saying that Jesus is coming. Peter said the scorners. Then he said, it's because they don't know. They don't know that to God, 1,000 years is just like a day. What seems like a long time is not a long time to Christ. I'm going to admit to you, I've prayed a lot of how long prayers. Lord, how long? Lord, how long? One of the most painful things to me, as I've observed in Christianity, is when I see the righteous suffer. When you as a preacher, and we don't like to admit it, we lay hands in the hospital and we pray our hearts out. No, we don't talk much about this. And the person is still there sick. And you hear in a few days that the person passed. When you know that Jesus Christ then raised the dead, and you see someone and you agonize, like Christ agonized. When she saw that widow, he saw that widow and her son. And he said, Lord, let this dead body come up. I want something on Washington Post tomorrow. I want them to have to explain this. And God chooses not to do it. And you look in scriptures, you see, almost every time I look in scriptures, when they felt this leading in the Bible, something happens. When you get reports in the northern part of Nigeria that pastors are burned alive, their churches are burned to the ground with impunity. I say, how long, Lord? How long? How long? When you see a brother or a sister who's been looking for a job, and the biggest testimony you want is that come Sunday, you get a call that says, I got the job of my dreams, and you don't get it for 15 months. But we eventually get it. I'm not preaching a discouraging message. I'm just saying, in the midst of all of these uncertainties, when 1 + 1 is not equal to 2 in your life, Jesus is coming. And the truth is, for 80%, 90% of Christians, 1 + 1 is never equal to 2. If I ask most of you, Is your life exactly how you planned it to be in the flesh when you were growing up? You will tell me, I'll tweak. Yeah, glory be to God. All of you will say, look, looking back, we thank the Lord. But I would have loved to tweak here and there and here and there. I would have wanted to make this child a little bit smarter to, you know. But that is the reality that we live. If I ask many of you, is your wedding exactly what you had hoped? Is it the days of heaven on earth? Because that's what they told us it will be. You say, look, all things considered, yes. But in reality, I would like to tweak, unless you are being dishonest. That is apart from me, you know. And God deliberately make it so because this world is not our home. And I just wanted to open up this morning that, saints, please do not forget the hope of his coming. The scorners mock at this. They say, you Christians, what's this hope? What's this so heavenly minded you are useless on earth? Look at your mates. See how well those who do not believe are doing. Do not forget what your calling is about. Jesus said, in this age, you're going to have tribulations. Well, be of good cheer. In the world, you will have overcome the world. Where is the Christian who is going to be strong within? As I read the scriptures again, I began to see scriptures, how the Bible did not really create that ideal life. I don't get the impression of the problemless ideal life when I read scripture. It's as if the scriptures teach us some hope and strength in the face of reality. We overcome where other men crumble. We pass through the fire and we're not singed by it, scorched. We pass through the water where other hearts would have failed, but by the power of Jesus Christ. It's as if what God wants to do is to show us forth that we are more than conquerors. We pass through death. We are like sheep without shepherd, says the scriptures. And we stand. We are still singing hallelujah. We are still singing hallelujah. And speaking about these things, because we had a discussion last night about the rate. I don't know whether you read the article, but one of my brothers forwarded some articles to me last night that got me thinking a lot. It's been said that the rate of pastoral suicide has increased. And I imagine if the rate of pastoral suicide has increased, the rate of Christian suicide compared to the last few decades has significantly increased. And I'm not talking about just scandals. You hear in the world that there's a suicide because someone was caught up in some financial crime or something and they were facing a long jail. No, I'm talking about faithful men preaching the gospel and the spirit of depression just falls on them. So there are a series of articles, and I was just reading them. I was like, "What? We should not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Satan is robbing us of the hope. The Bible says hope does not put to shame. May the Lord help us to remove our eyes from the world and to look to Jesus once again. I pray that Jesus will become real to us. He said, I am the good shepherd. All the others are hirelings. My sheep, they will hear my voice. He says, righteousness, peace, and joy, that is the kingdom of God. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not the kind of peace that giving birth to a child gives. I'm talking about another kind of peace. It's the peace that the world cannot understand. It's the peace in the midst of the storm. That is what Jesus has called us to. I pray that his peace will always be with us in Jesus' name. So I'd like us to examine a few scriptures this morning. Having the kingdom mindset is the phrase that came to my mind. I like to examine a few scriptures, a few guidance that scriptures gives to us to help us to be heavenly minded, to guide some of our conducts. We started some of it last week, so we'll continue. First one that I'd like us to open to this morning is Matthew chapter 11. As many of us as possessed the Spirit of the Lord, again, I remind us, the Bible says that we should ask, and God will give the Spirit to whoever asks Him. From verse 25, you do not serve a powerless. You have not come to a mountain like Moses went to. You have come to the holy Mount Zion. The God who you name is a powerful God. I pray that none of us will surrender the powerful notion of our God for a God of religion that cannot help us. In Matthew chapter 24, I'll start reading from verse 25. It says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you have revealed them to mere babes. I like to point out the word babes. What Christ is about to say, most of what Jesus has to say to us, only the heart of a child can understand it. And I challenge all of us to rid ourselves of our theologies, of our experiences. Rid yourself of your presuppositions. And let us always accost our Bible study with the heart of a child. I don't know, I think often that thing is so important to God. I don't know how many times the Bible talks about the humble in heart. It's as if only those who are simple, who are humble, are able to take advantage of the word of God. And Christ here was thanking the Father that you hid all of these things from the pastors, the scribes and the Pharisees. And he picked people whose hearts this morning are simple before him and revealed them to them. What are these things that were hidden to them? He said, even so, Father, for it seemed 26, it seemed good in your sight. I want you to know those two verses because it re-emphasizes it. I like to re-emphasize it. There's a key here again before we move on. If you approach Bible study with your pen and your pencil alone and not with your heart and your simple, if you approach Bible study with some framework, theological framework, if you approach God with some entitlement syndrome or with any experience, the chances are that we will miss the riches of his promises in our lives. He said it has pleased the Lord that it is to simple, humble people who tremble at his words that he chooses to reveal his word. That's why there's a lot of preaching and very little doing. There's a lot of knowledge of the head, but the knowledge of God is not of the head, it's of the heart. The wisdom of God is reflected in humility, in joy, in peace, in quietness. So Christ said, thank you, Father, because it's pleased you to treat it that way. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. I don't know where you stand this morning. Then Christ points to you and to me. And he says, come to me, all of you here who labor and are heavy laden. And what did he say? Then why does Satan say we have to be stressed every day? The Lord is conscious of everything that troubles your heart. We don't have to play by the rules of the world. I want you to remember this verse. It is a promise of God. We love to claim promises. So at times we claim the promise of house, and then we get a house and we have problems. We are looking for peace. Well, peace is what we want, right? But we think house, we give it. At times we claim the promise of a job instead of claiming the promise of rest. And then that job becomes the stressor of your life. Then you go, why didn't I just pray for rest? At times we pray for boy or girl child, And that boy or girl child say, when I grow old, hey, I thank God I have three girls. They will take care of me. I think I better double up on my 401k. But by the grace of God, they will do well. I'm just saying at times things don't go the way you expect. But will your joy be affected? Christ said, I will give you rest. We often forget that Jesus says to us, I will give you rest. This is a promise of Christ. Are you troubled? Is something worrying you this morning? He said, come to me. All you who what? Sounds to me like stress, labor, and you feel that life is a lot. Have you been to Jesus lately? And I will give you rest. May the Lord give us the... It is hard to do, but this is what we must practice. May the Lord give us the frame of mind to cast our burdens upon him. Let's continue to read. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. This is not a practical sermon in the United States. Matthew 11:28 does not pay the mortgage. But nothing in Christianity is practical. Unless we are ready to experience supernatural things, Christianity is meaningless to us. And I think that's why we struggle many times. We have no expectation of supernatural. So we reduce God to what we think he can do. He can give me a house. I've repeated house twice now. Those who are in the know why it's house. Right. I mean, you know where the leg is pinching you, right? Okay, I'll use another example. Car. He can do all things. I will give you rest. Whatever it is we have, if we have no rest, we have not claimed the pivotal promise of Jesus Christ. Actually, he did not promise the other things. This is what he promised. Then he says, take my yoke upon you. What does that mean, brethren? Every verse of scripture, you know, please, brethren, I speak generally. It may work for you. But what the Lord has been teaching me is, please stop reading whole chapters of the Bible. The chances are that you already know the story. I want you to examine every verse. I think at times when we are in a hurry to finish the Bible in 365 days, we finish it and discover at the end of it, we really have not learned anything. It's as if you are reading for an exam. And you just read through as though finishing the syllabus will make you. No, you have to understand. Take my yoke. Come to me. I will give you rest. Mothers are in need of rest today. And do you think Jesus cannot give you rest regarding the physical, the strength that you need? Have you prayed about it? Have you really prayed about it? Have you gone, Lord, this is hard. Give me rest. No, you say, God, give me house help. And then you get house help, and the house help gives you problems. My wife brought to my attention one blog or news yesterday about a family that hired a 70-something-year-old woman to take care of their kids. And the lady, Nigerian, and the lady... I believe in the best of interest. You know how grandparents and parents have their own way of doing things. So she force-fed that child because she wanted the child to have food in her belly. And the child drowned and died. And they were indicting the woman in a court. But as he said, did you tell me the name or did we hear it on radio? But we knew it was Nigerian, right? But they mentioned the name. The name of the lady was a Nigerian name. And I instantly understood what was going on. I knew this woman meant no wickedness. Yeah. I knew instantly because I've seen my grandmother force feed a child with pap. They pap fed a child. It works 99% of the time, but this one time, it did not work. She what? Okay, it's we don't know the details. Yeah. Okay, so unless you can resurrect the child, let's go back to the sermon. I instantly understood what Sister Lande was saying. When they said that the woman said, I was just trying to help in my culture. She actually, whoever it is, read it out. Because I've seen my grandmother who is not a murderer. And I've seen sick children receive strength because of that. Mommy, don't we roar or more in our culture? Mommy, don't we roar or more in our culture? Sister Ronke is attempted murder. Because if anything went wrong, all we hear is the headline. So this poor family really wanted help, and they thought that the help or rest, because the mothers needed to go to work, the father needed to go to work, the most loving thing, and of course there are financial considerations. You get the most affordable help that you can get. They did not know what it would cost down the line. Come unto me, all you who labor. How many of you have been out of your buildings every morning to hit the walkway and you have coffee? As you're leaving, you're thinking about how you're going to pick up the kids, how you're going to do this. This Shade is looking at me and shaking her head. Yes. Transfer money from one. You even have money in one account to transfer to the other. You see that people's problems are different. Some people are wondering how they can get money to transfer. She's wondering how she can transfer. Her problem is to transfer from one account to the other. I will like your problem, my sister. There are several accounts. People have six accounts, and it's $5, $10, $5, $1 in each account.
Is it transfer the $1 to balance out the one that is 15 so that you pay that?
I like your problem. I will give you rest, says the Lord. My question is, do we pray for rest? We tell the Lord the solutions we want, but he says, I will give you rest. Can we go to the next one? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Have you thought about this verse? Take my yoke. Sister Jackie, we start praying for rest. Have you been praying for rest? The Jesus rest. He's saying, I don't want you to be without trouble on earth. That's what this is saying. I'm just telling you to switch your trouble for the trouble that I will give you. Because my kind of trouble is easier on you. Nobody is going to coast through life, brothers and sisters. That's why we find out, I don't know, this is part of why we find out that there are pastors committing suicide. The expectation is because they are pastors, they will not have problems. It's even harder for the pastor because now you have nobody to tell your problems to. You have to climb that pulpit and behave as though everything is fine. His dad dies and he behaves as though the money will fall from the sky because he cannot beg for money. Your parents die and you say, I think I'm going to need problem. It's his problem, need some money. But his dies, he has to come in front and say, the Lord will provide, like the ravens always come down. He's expecting a ravens, and when he does not, please rally around him. It's the reality. That's the way pastors act. Because they represent Jesus. They forget that when Jesus was hungry, the Bible claims that he was hungry. And he asked for water when he was thirsty. You will not be problemless. He says, stop worrying about the things you are worried about. Don't worry about the outcome of your life. He said, look at the ravens. Look at the birds. Look at the lilies. Here's what I want you to worry about. My yoke. My yoke is easy. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Worry about salvation. What keeps me up at night is I want to deliver of all that you have given to me, I have lost none. Worry that your brothers and sisters who started in Jesus, though they may not have mansions, worry that they will meet with Jesus when he comes. That is my yoke. It's an easier yoke because I'm the one that carries it. Give me your yoke of ambition, your yoke of trouble, your yoke of my children, your yoke of longevity. You say, people will be looking at their watches today. How many steps have you taken today? 1,000, as though 1,000 steps can keep you alive. People send thousands on one personal trainer. And you worry people without personal trainer are living longer. We worry about everything except the things, the yoke of Jesus. The yoke he has put on us is that we may glorify him, that we may be his disciples and his voice to all the earth. That's not what, when he takes us to a workplace, what should bother us is that we may have boldness, which is what the early disciples preached for, that they may declare the majesty of our Jesus. That's his yoke. But our yoke is, when will my mortgage be paid off? What will I do at retirement? When he says, do not even worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. None of us know where we came from. None of us knew we were going to be where we are. That school will be built. Those widows will be taken care of. Don't worry. It's not our burden. It's the burden of Jesus. That is one thing we've done well in New Covenant Church. Can you see? Warriors don't have empty chairs. He doesn't worry. If there's one person, he will preach the same message. When there are 20 people, it's the same message. He has not put the pressure of building upon himself. That's why he's still looking young. Christ could have validated his ministry by ensuring that the whole of Jerusalem became his disciple. He was content with fishermen and 12 people following him about. He had no point to prove. You have no point to prove to anybody, brothers and sisters, except God. Let us worry that when the sky splits open, we'll be one of those whose garments will be transformed in white, and we will hear, "Welcome home, you good and faithful servant." Tell me about this worry. Bother me with that one. Let it make us stay up at night. Let it keep us up at night. Don't worry. It's hard, but when I worry, because we must worry, when I worry, the voice of Jesus should say to you, peace. My peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. Not as the world. Let not your heart be troubled. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it had not been so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, then I will come back to you. That where I am, there you may be also. Have we forgotten these things? The Bible will say, encourage one another with these words. Heavenly words. The echoes of angels singing. The love, divine love of our Jesus Christ, who did not drive a Benz or build a home. He came as the meekest of men. Put my yoke. give me this yoke of yours, this burden, and put my yoke upon you. For I'm what? Lowly and gentle. Yeah? I'm gentle and lowly in earth. I will not trouble you the way American economy troubles you. I will not give you the kind of stress and pressures that your friends give to you and your parents and your younger ones and your older ones. I will not make you compare yourself to others and be a fool. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. If only we will let go with both hands and follow Jesus Christ. Let's remove ourselves from the club of the world. First Timothy chapter 6. As we close. The kingdom mindset. The kingdom mindset. There's a way that God wants us Christians to think. There's a scripture. Paul said to Timothy in one of his letters, he said, run this race lawfully. He said, nobody is crowned unless they run lawfully. If an athlete competes, I mean, you can't do a relay race. People, you know what relay, 4x400, 4x100? Once you cross the lane, you're disqualified. There's a lawful way to be a Christian. May the Lord help us so that we will not be part of the gang that believes once you give your life to Jesus, you can just behave anyhow. And when the trumpet sounds, you'll be raptured. Not so. There's an expectation on you. In Matthew chapter 5, it says, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are a city. And then it's as if that scripture was mocking us a bit. He said, oh, come on, tell me, can a city, a whole city that is on a hill, can it be hidden? He said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. They said, but nobody lights a candle and buries it. So what kind of Christianity are we practicing? Let your light so shine to the world that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The kingdom mindset. We touched on this a bit last week. I just want to reemphasize it. Let's start reading from verse 6. Verse 5. No, let's do 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out with us. Have you thought about that? All these things we labor for. We cannot carry with us. In Isaiah 55, he said, why do you labor for that which is not bread? It is now godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and for sure, no matter what. I think I've said it before, the conversation I had with my father. My father grew up as an orphan. My father and Folake's dad. Folake's dad is my father's big brother. But he was fortunate. My father, my grandfather, was one of the earliest educated people in his tribe. My great-grandfather was a king, Adeniyi. Then my father, his son, Samuel, was educated. Then he became an interpreter for the missionaries when they came to Nigeria. He converted from Islam. So they killed his father. No, his father died. They conspired and killed him. But he had 2 sons, 1 daughter. They were both young. The missionaries took Folake's dad and put him in an orphanage. Educated him. He ended up a metallurgical engineer somewhere in Rutgers, right? Pretty cool. But they couldn't take both of them. So my father told me this story, that he went from farm to farm, house to house, all of his life, I mean, if you say a self-made man, he was. But for some reasons, he just loved education. And he tells his story, how he was formed, how he went through high school, how he went to UI back in the days, in those early days, and he was one of the poor students in UI that had no dormitory, right? His brother was in the US. Apparently, his brother wasn't sending him money there because he was a student. But that's okay. That's family matter. Anyway, no. His brother was a student as well. How? He said those were early days, and I guess some of you will meet the meal ticket in school. There were those days when you would buy a pack. Maybe you had a government that sponsored you. Buy a pack of meal tickets. He said that used meal tickets that he would rub off and go and, I mean, he was one of those cutters. That was my father. Got out of school, went to the civil service, came back. He just ended up in the U.S. He worked very hard. He ended up with a PhD from Waco, from Baylor in Waco, Texas. And he tells the story. And he forgot that we've heard the story so many times. So one Thanksgiving, he started telling the story all over again. And I said, "Dad, see that Baylor plaque? Can you take it with you?" So, Adewale, what are you talking about? I said, "I like to inherit it. I don't have a PhD. But when you go, please..." No, I didn't say, "Can you take it?" I said, "When you go, can you please will it to me? I will like..." "But you know I can't do that now." I said, "Really? You went through this suffering? You went through everything in life? You did all... and you cannot will it to me?" I said, "That is not possible now. You have to earn your own." And I said, "So you mean this thing will no longer serve you? You worked very hard for it." "Anyway, what are you talking about?" Well, that was the last time he told me about getting a PhD. It occurred to him, and he said it later, that everything on this side of eternity is for this side of eternity. My father wakes up at 5 to pray. He's seeking eternal things now. But he was a kind of man that believed if you work hard, everything will work out for you. If everything is not working hard for you, it must be because you've not worked hard. You know, men who pull themselves up are inclined to believe such. But the whole thing, he has seen that there's limits to the things of life. Some people think that gain is godliness. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world. I challenge you, brothers and sisters, as we close, don't let the world harass you with its trinkets, because Jesus has promised us better things. No matter what is going wrong in ministry, in personal life, in marriage, set your eyes upon Jesus. Look straight into his beautiful eyes. And the things of life will go strangely dim in the light of his what? Beauty and grace. Right? This is the comfort of God. Let's wait for the high calling of the saints in Christ Jesus. No matter how we preach it, everything will not be okay yet. No matter how hard you pray, everything will not be okay yet. No matter how much you desire, everything will not be okay yet, but it will be okay when Jesus comes. I want our hearts to be settled so that with every challenge, we will never let our glance stray away from Jesus Christ. If in this life only we have hope, of all people, we are most miserable. So when you're wondering, why are all these bad things happening to Christians? It's because this world is not our home. We are just passing through. We are just passing through. We try to make it our home. We try to name the streets over our children. We try to inherit a portion of it. But it's not our home. We are waiting for a new Jerusalem. And I pray that this hope will galvanize our hearts. We brought nothing into this world. It is certain we can carry nothing. Having therefore food and clothing, be therewith content. Brethren, do you now understand why God does not answer many of our prayers? Because most of us have already secured food and clothing. What we are asking for is caviar and some apparel, some fashionable apparel. We have more than food and clothing. He said, as long as you are clothed, you are fed, I'm going to add healthy, be content. Because godliness with contentment is great. The lack of contentment in a Christian is what makes us to stress out. Let us learn to be content. Without contentment, you cannot serve God. You will always be distracted. The kingdom mindset is a humble, lowly, and content mindset. That is the spirit of the Lord. He said, let this mind, Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, such as was in Christ, who although he owned everything, he came in form of a man and humbled himself. He even agreed to die on the cross. A God dying on the cross. Godliness with contentment. Look at the root of most of our troubles today. It's because we are comparing ourselves to the world. And as long as we are not content, we cannot be grateful. Someone said, I don't know who I was speaking with yesterday. The person mentioned that one of his counseling techniques or something is that when people came, that was Dikpe, I guess. He said he counsels with Salvation Army. And of course, he's counseling drug addicts, recovering drug addicts. And everything. He said one of the things he always says to them is that, don't commit suicide. Don't be disturbed. Rejoice. Because no matter how bad your problem is in America, I know people in Nigeria, in the rest of the world, whose problem, if you will want to have their problems. There's always something to be grateful for. Christians, let us learn to be content. Because we're always looking ahead, we've forgotten to look around and give thanks. Some people think that gain, having bigger, faster, deeper things is godliness. It's the measure of prosperity. Having the male and the female. Having the mansions and the little things, vacation home in Florida, $1 billion to retire with, no financial problems. They think that that is godliness. They think that that is the real blessing of God. They forgot that Jesus Christ hung out with fishermen. He himself had nowhere to lay his rest. Christ was totally not focused on any of these things. How many wives did Jesus have? How many children did he bear biologically? He was content. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father and to finish it. I pray that we will recalibrate our focus in life. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will not carry anything. Having food and clothing, with these you shall be content. Then he warned us as we close again. Do you know what is there? Bola? I'll read it out. Those who want to be rich, they are going to fall into temptation. And they are going to fall into several snares. They will fall into many foolish and harmful lusts that draw men in destruction and perdition. That is one of the number one problems in the Church of Christ that preaches that being rich is a Christian goal. That's why we have mortgages we can't pay as individuals and as churches. That's why homes are broken I have seen too many marriages that while the husband and the wife were struggling, when they did not have much, they were okay. And once the woman becomes a nurse or the man joins IT, wahala starts. Have you ever thought about that? That's a puzzle. When they were struggling, they were fine. Brabumi, have you not seen that? They came struggling. Everything was fine. The lady found a nursing job. I proactively ask now, as the story begins, I said, is she a nurse? And the answer many times is yes. Snares, foolishness, greed. Or I say, is the guy in IT? And they say yes. Can you please go to the verse 9 again? It does not say those who are rich, because many will be rich. God needs people to be rich because of the work that is. But you don't get to pick whether you'll be rich or not. Just like you don't get to pick whether you have a male or a female. There's nothing you glory in that you got to pick. Nothing. It's God ordaining his will through you. He will deny some for his own sake, and he will give to others for the glory of his name. May the Lord give us the inner strength to bear the calling that God has called us to. He said, those who desire, who are driven by a goal to be better, superior, to be richer, to be, if you're a Christian writer and you want to be famous, I'm going to add to this scripture, to the sense of the scripture, not the letter. Those who desire to be famous. Haven't you noticed how in work, if suddenly your goal is to climb the corporate ladder, you find that you are doing what others are doing. Put all of those burdens on me, says the Lord. And put my yoke on yourself. My yoke is easy. It is to bring you to an expected end. The thoughts that I have towards you, they are thought of good and not of evil. You know, Yoruba says, life is not this hard. We make it too hard for ourselves. We have enough in this church to be happy people. If indeed, as we are praying, when we become filled with God's Spirit, nobody will have to worry about homelessness. But Abumi has the basement. And, oh, but Peter, his basement is an apartment complex in of itself. In love, God has made provision. We have it. There are people with enough money in their bank account to take care of the problem that you are worried about. The only thing that separates us, we've not come to the fullness of love. There's enough money that none of us will have to worry if we lose our job, whether we can send our kids to school. But there's not enough love yet. Love will solve many of the things we are praying for in prayer meeting. And God wants us to grow in it. Brethren, we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. We are different. The Bible says that if the foundation be faulty, what can the righteous do? I pray that the Lord will start giving us a kingdom mindset. At times we try to cure the symptoms, but we must address the root. The root is that we are carrying our burdens. We are ignoring the yoke of Jesus Christ. In those days, when they called people to be Christians, there's a phrase they use, counting the cost. We'll be much more peaceful and happier Christians. At times, we are trying to change God to conform to our aspirations, rather than us changing to conform to his aspiration. And of course, he never changes. Those who desire to be rich, be content with what you have. Let what bothers you from today, let it be, will I seek Jesus when he comes back? May the Lord deliver us from greed. In Romans chapter 12, let's open to Romans 12, 26. 12:16, Acts Romans. Scripture says, be of the same mind towards one another. Do not set your mind on high things. When I saw these scriptures again, I used to know these scriptures when I was a younger Christian. I rejoiced when the Holy Spirit reminded me. Otherwise, don't set your mind on high things. Be of the same mind. Don't let in our midst there shouldn't be honor of persons. In New Covenant Church, don't praise some people because they are politicians. You can be governor of whatever. When you come in the presence of the Lord, he does not regard persons. Your title means nothing. In fact, in the kingdom of God, the least are the greatest. We must practice these things. Don't look at someone because of the way they are dressed. The Lord does not. The Bible says, man looks at the way you dress, God looks at the heart. So the prophet wanted to appoint the elder brothers of David, not the small boy, because he was looking at the exterior. Kingdom mindset. Be of the same mind. James wrote it. Say, if a rich man comes and meets us and we say, rank a day, day, or, you know, the honorable chief, now we give you the microphone, come and talk to us. Thank God we don't reserve seats. But we have to remind, we have to remind ourselves. There's no respect of persons. Be of the same mind. Don't have partiality. Is that the word? Say, do not have the faith of God with partiality. Don't prefer tone to, don't prefer mommy to tone. That's likely going to be the. Be of the same mind. We have work to do. Do not set your mind on, that was the one that hooked me. Because if you are not careful in this America, your mind will be on high things. I have arrived. I don't know, where were we flying that we're arriving? Let them do it. Let the potsherds of the earth deal with the potsherd of the earth. Leave the rat race. Do not set your mind. Eat your bread with joy and happiness, because we are headed for the marriage feast of the Lamb. Do not set your eyes on high things, but associate with what? With the humble. Because it's easy to associate with the famous. Meet my cousin. He's the, which one are they? Eh? He's the what? Kennedy. I'm not impressed with executive. This is New Covenant Church. We don't do executive card director. Well, I mean, we're doing NCC chairman. We're doing, we're talking ED. We'll soon be doing governor. We're talking ED. What is ED? Meet my cousin. He's the CEO of, he's this new CIO of Facebook. Oh my, amen. We don't do that stuff. Don't mind high things. Associate with the humble. Look around you every Sunday. There's a brother there who is in need of that confidence that God has given you naturally. There's a sister there who just needs 5-6 people to hug them and draw them out in conversation. Identify with the humble. But Akeni does not need you. He's already full of confidence. Look around you. Let's do the work of Jesus. Let's develop a kingdom mindset. Let's think as Jesus would think. Are you the social kind? Go and draw out the ones that are on social. When you are looking around at greeting, don't think about the people that smell like you and look like you to hug. Think about the person who needs you. Do not be wise in your own opinion. May the Lord grant us grace. Let us pray. Father, help us to be like you, towards a more perfect church. All of the life lessons in scriptures, Lord, all of this week, my cry and my heart to you is that you may equip me to be like you. The things I so, and my brothers and sisters, we so frequently forget, or Satan has persuaded us, it's just impossible, that they are ideals. The lack of these ideals is also preventing us from measuring up to the fullness of Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to be able to live ideal Christian lives. Help us, Father, to yield our worries and cast our burdens upon you. Give us the grace to pick up the burdens of Jesus that we may think like you, act like you. Help us, Father, not to be impressed with the things that impress the world, but rather to be impressed with righteousness, with grace, with truth. Help us, Father, not to regard persons, not to hold any man above Jesus. Give us the heart of love, of humility. Help us to be sensitive to the needs around us so that we will not live oblivious lives. Lord, that we will not get to the throne of glory before we remember the ones in prison, the one that is hungry, that we have not fed, that is thirsty, that we have not given water to. This is what your word says. Quicken us, my Lord. Quicken us. I pray that we'll be practical. I pray, Father, that incredible things will begin to happen in this church. Things that are just not rational to the natural mind. Father, that we'll discover the strength of the Holy Spirit to serve and to love in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to think in the way that Jesus thinks. To prove everything we hear in the name of Jesus. Father, keep us this week, Lord. Keep us at our workplaces. Help us to not be harassed or to harass anyone. Give us the courage, the boldness to represent Jesus, that our light may shine even as you have commanded it. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.